Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Associate CIO Richard Spires. Also joining us in our conversation is Jeff Smith. Richard, a common challenge on large-scale change efforts is ensuring the appropriate involvement of the business customer and domain experts who have deep knowledge required to make these programs successful, in addition to them working their normal jobs. How do you ensure that these folks are appropriately involved?
Well, that's always a tough problem I'll address. One of the things we're trying to do is, and we're going to use the modernization vision and strategy because we have the business involved in this. It's not just that we're going to ask people to do this in addition to their regular day jobs. We really need to pull people out of their regular day jobs to be successful, both within MITS, those that know some of these legacy systems really well as we drive modernization, as well as in the business units in order to participate in driving the requirements and driving even re-engineering of processes as we build new systems. So one of the ways that we're looking is we need to reduce the demand, if you will, in order to better focus our efforts. Our hope is through the use of the modernization vision and strategy to more focus our modernization efforts so that, if you will, we can free up some of that demand so we can free up some of the right people to get them focused on these activities. Doing this part-time is just not going to work.
Many large technology and programmatic changes struggle with performing against budget and schedule estimates. This probably should be no surprise. What would you share with your colleagues and other agencies who may be budgeting now for a large system implementation or a modernization effort?
Well, this is, of course, what the BSM program struggled with for years, and it's just recently that we've had the maturity of the program in order to start to get our arms around this, and our program performance has improved quite a bit in this arena. As an advice for starting out new, one of the things that I think is very important is there are a number of important things, but some critical ones is the governance issue and the business involvement. I think for anybody that's run projects, you know that scope definition, controlling scope, is a critical element of a running successful project and ultimately successful program built of potentially many projects. And you can't do that without the right kind of interaction with the business, with the ultimate users of these systems. And it goes far beyond just having a couple of individuals. It really needs to be at all levels of the business, up to and including the top. And our governance structure, for instance, includes the deputy commissioners from each of the business units within the IRS. So really right up at the top of these four major business units we have are deeply involved in these modernization efforts. That's one critical element. I think the other critical element is you need to make sure project and program management really has become a bit of a science now. You don't have to invent things in order to do this, but you need an enterprise lifecycle methodology, okay, in order to be effective. You need an enterprise architecture to know where you're at and know where you're going to be effective. You need a set of processes around project and program management that you need to mature. And to think that you're going to embark on something of significant change and significantly new development without having that in place, I couldn't recommend you go forward until you take those foundational steps and make that happen first.
Your contractor relationship for modernization has received a great deal of media attention. What would you share with other government leaders about contracting for such large-scale services?
Well, I alluded to it earlier. My strong view on this, whether it be a government agency or whether it be in the private sector, is there are things that you can and potentially should outsource, but there are things that inherently you need to own as the customer, whether it be a government agency or whether it be a private sector corporation. And I'm not sure that we struck that right balance at the IRS when we started business systems modernization. Although I do admit early on in this program, prior to my arrival, as I alluded to earlier, I don't think the IRS had internally had all the experience and skills in the people in order to effectively run something like this. But what we've tried to do is bring in and augment the talented people we have in the IRS with areas of bringing in individuals that bring in a different set of skills that complement the skills of those that are in the IRS already, in order to build the right kind of cadre where we can take on the real program management aspects of this, and then leverage the contractors for what they do best, right? The contractors we use are very talented in being able to build systems based on good requirements and be able to design those systems and be able to build them and field them. But they themselves are not going to be able to effectively pull off a modernization program like this without an awful lot of leadership and support and involvement from the right type of IRS staff.
What steps have you taken to ensure that both your team and the contractor team are properly coordinated, and what advice would you share with other government leaders about maintaining these relationships?
Clearly, I believe in a very tight coupling on a project and programmatic basis with our contractors. At a project level, we hold weekly formal meetings, but in reality, it's a daily process where we're working very closely with our contractors at all levels. And as I said, I talked about an integrated project team. What we have done within the IRS is actually built something we call a resource capacity model for our project work. So when we start a new project, based on our experience base, these are the skills we need. These are the kinds of people we need from various areas, whether it be from our security area or whether it be from the customer or whether it be from our operations organization, to ensure that when we build something and field it, that we take into the operational issues. All of these various areas come together to build an integrated project team, and the contractor or contractors in some cases are part of that integrated project team. And then on a programmatic basis, we do in-depth monthly reviews of every project. We do overall programmatic reviews. In addition to the, of course, many informal or more less formal meetings and the interactions we have with our contractors.
So, Richard, it sounds like one of the best practices is striking the appropriate balance in partnership and ownership between what I heard you describe as the three key constituents: the business areas, the IT community, and the contractor community that's supporting that modernization effort. Is that balance, you feel, something that has really led to the success in business modernization at the IRS versus perhaps some of your other experiences, either in the private sector or at IRS?
I think it took us a while to get that balance correct, but I think we've achieved that balance in the right way. I think the IRS has taken on the right level, from an IT perspective, the right level of leadership. But we still are heavily leveraging the contractors community. But we've also gotten the business units involved in a much more meaningful way than we had them involved a few years ago. And that is also absolutely critical to our success moving forward.
Great. We understand that you've also modified the internal committee structure for modernization efforts. Do you describe the current internal oversight committee?
Well, there are a number of different committees that we use. What we've done is each major project reports to an executive steering committee that is has representation from the business, from MITS, and also from other stakeholder organizations like our mission assurance organization that is, of course, concerned with security issues and privacy issues. The actual executive steering committee that oversights a major project is headed by one of the business executives, okay? So ultimately, the kinds of decisions around scope or any types of delays that we may look at if we have to add scope, those types of issues are discussed in a forum where the business leadership drives that discussion, all right? The IT organization, and particularly the integrated project team, is responsible, of course, for the day-to-day management. But we think this is an effective way and has actually been quite successful in providing the right level of oversight to these projects. These then ESCs, these executive steering committees, then report to a committee that's made up of a number of us at the senior level within MITS, including the CIO, as well as leadership from each one of the four business units, so that we can then look across the whole portfolio of modernization and look at trade-offs. For instance, if we have to deal with a budget cut, right? What are the priorities and where are we going to then decide to take that cut from the standpoint of which program do we need to either stop or which project do we need to stop or do we need to slow down? Those types of decisions then are made in that kind of venue.
What does the future hold for the IRS? We will ask Associate CIO Richard Spires to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.